Welcome to Home Group.
This is Rick Renner, and I'm so happy that today I'm here together with Denise and Joel. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Rick. We're so glad to be here.
Absolutely, Mom. I'm glad to be with both of you.
And we're glad to be with you, Joel.
And today we're going to keep talking about the rapture of the church. And I have my new book, which is called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation. The subtitle says, An End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And so many people have already ordered it, and they're letting us know that it's a blessing to them. And if you don't have yours yet, please go online to order yours or give us a call, because you will love this. And guys, this book is really beautiful. I mean, it's really well illustrated.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I mean, just page after page illustrations. It's 464 pages, so it's pretty substantial.
Can I say something about that book?
You sure can.
That book is so wonderful. And when you read it, you're going to get so excited about Jesus coming. It's just wonderful. And of course, that's what we're talking about today on Home Group. And then when you get to hold it in your hands and read it, it's just so, it gets inside of you deeper.
Well, if you have a prayer request, please let us know, because we want to pray for you. And you can call the number on the screen, or you can send us an email, and we will really pray. But guys, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And by the way, 1 Thessalonians is the first epistle of Paul in the New Testament.
Really?
Yeah, it's the very first epistle that he wrote. So we're going to go to chapter 4, and we find that from the very earliest days of Paul's ministry, that's what it means, because this was the first epistle, he was already teaching about the rapture of the church. Now, some people don't believe in the rapture. Some people really dispute it. But in this book, I will prove to you the rapture of the church is biblical. But as I shared before, some people say, well, how come the word rapture itself is not found in the New Testament? It is. It's the Greek word harpazo, which is translated caught up. But when Jerome was translating the New Testament into the Latin version, he translated as the Latin word rapture. And that's where the word rapture stuck. And that's why everybody uses the word rapture. But it's actually the Greek word harpazo. It means exactly the very same thing. And the New Testament is just loaded with references to this word harpazo. It means to abduct, to carry away, to seize, to snatch. And that's what it means in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So let's go back there and pick up where we left off the last time. And in verse 15, it says, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So Paul is speaking to his readers supernaturally under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, that we which are alive and remain. Now, we covered that in the last home group. Those which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And here we have insight that when this day comes, the dead are going to be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up. But we're not going to go first. First in order, first in sequence is going to be the dead. They're going to be raised first, and then it's going to be us. And then today we're going to begin in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then. And the word then in Greek means then at that very synchronized moment. Then exactly in that moment, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the Greek word harpazo, which in Latin is translated as the word rapture. It's describing the rapture of the church. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But today we're going to really focus on verse 16 and 17. And in verse 16, it's those the Lord himself shall descend. Okay, everybody say descend.
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 The Greek word katabaino. The word kata means down, but it also carries the idea of a very dominating and subjugating force. The second part of the word is bino, which means to step. But when you compound these two words together, the word descend literally means Jesus is going to transition. The verse says, from heaven. The word from is the word apo. It means directly out of heaven, out of the highest heaven. Jesus is going to move downward into the lower atmosphere just above the earth. In this event, he does not touch the earth. In the second coming, which is 7 years later, he's going to touch the earth. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. But in this event, Jesus just descends into the lower atmosphere. The word bino describes movement. The word kata means down. It's downward movement, but that prefix kata is really important because it carries a sense of domination, subjugation, which means when he descends into the lower atmosphere, he is going to come with a dominating, subjugating sense. He's going to begin putting things in order. This event is really going to be the trigger that's going to change everything. Because the moment the dead are raised and the moment the righteous are raptured, that will begin the 7-year tribulation period. Now, let's go back to verse 15 because I need to show you something else. It says that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So he's talking about this event. That word coming is the Greek word parousia. And the word parousia, some people pronounce it parousia. Listen to this. It was a technical expression only used to denote the arrival of a king who alone had the authority to put everything in order. Which means this event is going to be the moment when Jesus is going to begin to put everything in order. That's why when he descends, he's going to come with kata, with a dominating, subjugating sense. This will trigger the event once the dead are raised, once the righteous are removed. We'll be in heaven. That's when the tribulation begins. And during the tribulation, God is going to be pouring out bowls of wrath. He's going to deal with the unrighteous, and God is going to bring order to what has been disorderly. It's going to begin with the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the dead. Is that amazing? And Jesus is literally going to ascend into the atmosphere just above the earth. And verse 16 goes on to say, with a shout. Well, who's going to give this shout? Jesus himself. This describes Jesus shouting himself. He's announcing that he's descending. And the word shout that is used here, all of these words are real specific. This particular word shout was the word shout, which described the shout at the commencement of a war, and its intention was to arouse the troops. This shout was intended to tell the charioteers to get ready to take their chariots on the road. Those that used boats, get ready to row. It was to muster the troops. And Jesus is going to give a shout, and this shout is going to muster the dead in the grave. It's going to give the shout that we that are the army of God, it's time for us to move onward and to move upward. It's going to be a shout that's going to muster all the armies of heaven for all the events that are going to take place. This is not just a shout, it is a signal. It's a signal to arouse the dead. It's an alert to us that are alive. It's going to muster together all the troops of heaven because the war of the ages is about to commence as soon as the dead are raised and the righteous have been removed. That's what this shout is all about. And then it says, with the voice of the archangel. And the word voice is the word phoné. That's where you get the word for a phonogram. The word phoné describes a noise, a voice, but there's something else. This word voice describes a massive, massive, massive voice. It can also depict the fluttering of wings, very loud sound of wings. It can describe the whirling of wind, which means this is not going to be a whisper. This is going to be a mighty, mighty voice. And the verse says it's going to be the voice of the archangel. So first of all, we're going to have the shout of Jesus himself as he descends. He's going to let out a shout like nobody's ever heard. Then there's going to be the voice of the archangel. And people have speculated, well, which archangel is this? Well, that's a good question. The Bible doesn't tell us. But most people believe this is the voice of Michael. It's what I believe. And the reason people tend to believe that is because Michael is the archangel that always commences war and deals with evil forces. We find that it's Michael in the book of Daniel that deals with principalities and powers. We find that it's Michael in the book of Jude who contends with Satan. He's over and over dealing with evil forces, and he's viewed to be the chief warrior angel among all the troops. So there's going to be a shout, possibly Michael the archangel, that's what I believe. And when he gives his shout, it's going to be the signal to all the angelic forces, the heavenly hosts, that's what the Bible describes, which really means heavenly armies, that the greatest battle of the ages is about to commence. And then it says, with the trump of God. Well, people have tried to extrapolate this word trump to describe some Jewish trumpet, and maybe it does. We know that in the Old Testament, when Israel was going to go to war, they would bring out the equivalent of the shofar, they would blow it, that would be the signal of war. However, the word that is used here in Greek is enough by itself. You don't have to extrapolate anything out of it or connect it to Jewish culture. It is the Greek word salpings. Now, Paul was a Greek scholar. I mean, that was his deal. He knew what this word meant. He wasn't trying to choose a Jewish word. He chose a very Greek word, but a word that absolutely everybody knew. And this word salpings, which here is translated as the word trump, was used primarily in two ways. Number one, it was used to announce war. And when this trumpet was announced, it wasn't just the signal that war was about to begin, but when the enemies heard this trump, they took it as the message, we're about to be slaughtered. It was a declaration, war has begun, and from the very beginning, with the blowing of this trumpet, we are announcing that the enemy is going to be totally decimated. This is your end. That's what this trump meant. And it was not just a little trumpet that you just held to your mouth. It was a long, long trumpet that you directed toward the ground. And in fact, ancient writers likened it to the trunk of an elephant because it went down toward the ground. And it was the loudest sound that could be produced in the first century without the amplification of a theater. No sound was louder. And when this trump was heard, enemies heard it. I mean, when it was blasted, the enemies heard it. And it would cause their whole beings just to tremble because they understood this was the proclamation, we're about to die. A serious battle's about to take place. And the same trumpet, salpings, was used in a court of law in a very similar way. When they would blow the salpings, it meant a verdict has been reached, and now execution is about to take place. So this is not just any trumpet. When you put all these words together, number one, the word parousia, the word coming, it means when Jesus comes, he's going to come with the authority to finally put everything in order. Number two, he's going to descend into the lower atmosphere with a dominating, subjugating force. Number three, he himself is going to shout. And this shout is intended to muster all of heaven's forces, to get all the troops ready for the greatest battle of the ages. Then there's going to be the voice of the archangel, probably Michael, to summon together all of heaven's troops. And then this word salpings, the word trump, which means it is going to be a declaration. The battle is about to begin, and we're announcing from the very beginning how it's going to end. Enemies are going to be defeated, and Christ is going to be triumphant. All of that is in these words. Denise, what do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. I'm just thinking there's so much. You know, you could run around the room 15 times rejoicing over the power of God and that Jesus is the great apostle and he's going to put everything in order. You said put everything in order, I think, four times. And every time you say that, I think about his apostolic ministry to put everything in order. But I'm thinking also that this is the time of grace. And to receive him, to love him, to experience him. But then there comes the time of judgment. And
that's going to be during the tribulation. I mean, it's going to be a time of judgment.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
Now, we're not going to be here. We're going to be in heaven. So the dead are going to be raised first. We're going to see this in just a moment. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And for 7 years, we're going to be in heaven at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And while we're at the marriage feast of the Lamb, which is 7 years, every one of us, one by one, are going to be called from the table when it's our turn to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to take 7 years for everyone to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which means Jesus is not going to get in a hurry. He could just in one moment just deal with all of us, but he's going to deal with each one of us one by one. There we are at the table enjoying the marriage feast of the Lamb. Then our name is called. It's our turn. We're going to go stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a place where we're going to be judged for sin, because sin is, it's under the blood. God's not going to bring up past failures that have already been forgiven and are under the blood. But at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be rewarded according to our levels of obedience in this life. And then at the end of those 7 years, when it's all done, that's when Jesus will come in his second coming. And we're told in the book of Jude that when he comes in his second coming, he will come with 10,000s of his saints. That's everybody that was raised from the dead. That's all of us that were raptured. We're going to all come back with him. And that, my friend, is when the bodies of the righteous are going to be raised. It is going to be such an amazing moment. They're going to be reunited with those that have come with the Lord, and the millennial reign will begin. Joel?
I think this is all so encouraging. Actually, it says that in the last verse, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And it is comforting.
It is comforting.
It's very comforting to know that our Lord and Savior is coming back, and we're going to be resurrected and be with him forever. But I have a question.
But all of that's in this book. And I just have to tell you, I mean, I'm moving very rapidly over what I covered in an entire chapter in this book. This book will just thrill your heart, and I really want you to get it.
So all these amazing events, Jesus descending, not touching the earth, just descending.
It's going to happen so fast.
Hovering over the earth. Archangel blowing the trump of God. The dead resurrected, then those who are alive also going up. All that's supposed to happen in a twinkle of an eye?
That's what we're going to see in the next home group. It's going to happen in the twinkle of an eye, and we're going to figure out what that means in the next home group. But let's continue. Then if you would, look again at verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend. So there we see Jesus making lower movement into the atmosphere above the earth with power and domination, the shout of Jesus, mustering the troops, the voice of the archangel to call together all the troops of heaven, the trump of God declaring that the final battle is beginning. And then the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Now, that's amazing. The word first is the word proton. It means first in order of priority. Then it says in verse 17, then, exactly after the dead are raised first, then we which are alive and remain are going to be harpazo. That's where we get the word rapture. We're going to be caught up together with them. With who? With the dead that have been raised. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And guess what, Denise? It says to meet the Lord in the air. That word meet, and this is also in this book, is one of those words that's very, very specific. And it was a very special word only used to describe the moment when the red carpet was rolled out to welcome VIPs who just arrived for a special event. You would never roll out such a red carpet just for anybody. It's only for VIPs. So now we find that in this moment, Jesus is going to roll out the red carpet and recognize his people for who they really are. They are VIPs. very important people. He's going to welcome them to a grand reception. And the verse says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comments?
Oh, I think it's very comforting. But you said that the dead will rise.
They will.
So does that mean their physical bodies are on earth?
Actually, that's their physical bodies are going to be raised in this moment.
And rejoined with their spirits.
With their spirits, because they've already, you know, they're already in heaven. All those that are already with Christ, they're already in heaven. Their bodies are going to be raised. They're going to be rejoined with their spirits. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up. And we're going to see in the next home group what's going to happen to us in that moment. What's going to happen to us? I mean, are we going to go up in these physical bodies, or are we going to have a new kind of a body? But you know, verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Denise, when we were growing up and we heard about the rapture, it wasn't very comforting. It always just scared the living daylights out of me. But I never heard anybody preach it like this. I mean, this is really exciting. And it's going to happen at any moment.
And Rick,
there's nothing stopping this from happening today.
The Apostle Paul says, then we. I mean, he's talking about himself.
Right.
He's expecting Jesus to come.
He was expecting Christ in his life. You know, there are people who say, well, they didn't really expect this to happen. Paul was expecting it right then.
Oh, yes.
But of course, we understand now that it's going to happen at the end of the church age. Well, we're living at the end of the church age.
I mean, he says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I mean, he sees himself going up with the Lord. And then he's speaking to them. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I mean, he's saying, we are going. Now comfort yourself with those words.
And then he says in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need to write unto you, for you yourselves know. And then he begins to describe the coming of the Lord. We should not be ignorant about these things. We should be aware of the times. We may not know the exact time it's going to happen, but we can know the season. And we're living in that season. But guys, we're out of time. But when we come back in the next home group, we're going to find out what's going to happen to these physical bodies of ours in this moment, and don't miss it. It's going to be great. We'll see you then, and we say to you, grace and peace.
Please like, subscribe, and share this video with your friends so more people can see it.